We've got a heck of a show planned for you this week. You're going to love hearing Caroline Stephen interview our team of trading experts so you can get the very latest market views, commentary, hints, and tips. And here is Caroline now.
Hi guys, welcome to this week's show. I'm Caroline Stephen, great to have your company. Fixed interest, a huge part of the investment market and a good reason to fixate. One of its leading authorities and the creator of IG Markets, Mr. Matt Wilson, joins us today for an introduction to this sector. We also have a very honest account of how Penelope Bellamy at the Midpoint Meeting is travelling in the Mentor Program. Has she reached her halfway goals and where is she focused next? We have trading trivia, but first up, here's the news for the week ending 20th of June with our special guest, Matt Wilson. Hi, Matt.
Oh, good morning, Caroline. How are you?
Very well. Tell us what happened in the Aussie markets last week.
Well, we had a pretty interesting week, I think. We had it was reasonably quiet if you looked at it from Friday to Friday. The S&P ASX S&P 200 was up around 14 points, beg your pardon. But we saw records continuing to be broken in the US with the S&P 500 making another record, closing up 27 on the week at 1963. That's a 43rd session in a row where the market has gone up by less than 1%. So it's really edging up slowly. Mm. And everyone's eyeing off that magical 2,000 figure. So that's the next stop everyone's looking at. What else did we see? The Dow Jones had another strong week again. They made a record high on Thursday night at 16,978, but just dropped back a bit on Friday, closing up the week 172 points. NASDAQ had its strongest move in 14 years, closing at 4,368, up 53 points. The Aussie dollar was pretty quiet. Gold was up $34 an ounce to what, 13.14. So it was a pretty interesting market. The market that we look at here at Yield Report most closely, of course, is the bond market. We saw yields in Australia, 10-year bond yields down 9 basis points to 3.67. Very quiet in the US, 2.61 on the 10-year bond. Interestingly, a couple of interesting tidbits, the Spanish 10-year bond, 2.74%, which is almost at parity with the US market. Quite incredible when you think that 4 years ago, Spanish bonds were about 12% and at risk of defaulting. So massive moves in bond markets over there in Europe. So all in all, a pretty interesting week.
What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
Very, very interesting, actually, in terms of sectors. The consumer discretionary sector, which includes stocks like Crown, Harvey Norman, JB Hi-Fi, Flight Centre, those kind of stocks, was up about 2% on the week, 2.1% in fact it was for the week. But consumer staples, we saw down 2%. Now, consumer staples includes stocks like Coca-Cola, Woolworths, Wesfarmers. Interestingly, that the sort of discretionary spending stocks were doing really, really well, but the staples that we all use, the supermarkets and things like that, actually came off quite sharply. So it seems like there's a bit of switching in the market there, and that was probably the biggest move in the sectors. And just on sort of the supermarkets, we've just seen Metcash come out this morning with a profit that's 17.9% down on last year to $169 million, and they've slashed their dividend 34% down to 18.5 cents. So that consumer staples area is really getting being smacked around.
Any patterns jump out from the charts?
Look, mainly the focus is on the US. Clearly we saw...
Why is the US doing so well?
Well, they're just having, the growth is starting to come through. We also saw, the real catalyst last week was the Federal Open Market Committee meeting on Thursday, and essentially they said, look, growth is, we had a pretty bad first quarter of growth because of weather. Had some shocking weather in the first quarter, you might recall, It started to pick up strongly, though, the growth over there. And I think it's really just this whole recovery coming through, massive stimulus going through. So even though the Federal Reserve is actually winding back stimulus, the economy is still growing pretty well. And I think that was the big move, on Thursday night. Wednesday night, which was Thursday our time. And we saw big, strong moves on the back of that.
Any opportunities you're looking at this week?
I think it's coming down to what the data releases are, and they're pretty slim on the ground in Australia. We're seeing the Chinese Purchasing Managers Index out later this morning. That will give us a good indication of how the Chinese economy is doing, which of course we rely so heavily on. We saw iron ore has broke below $90 a ton, and it did blip up on Friday night, which I think is a good sign. And so we've seen some strength here on Monday morning, which is great. Probably the big number that the market will focus on is the GDP number out later this week in the US. So in terms of opportunities, I think it's going to be data driven.
Any advice for traders this week?
I think it's a pretty tough trading market when you're seeing markets at record highs. And, one thing that really caught my eye last week, which is not so much a trading idea, but I think it was just a bit of a long-term investing idea. You might have seen that Nestle came out with an announcement talking about how they're going to take control of their supply chain. So at the moment, they deal with a lot of middlemen and traders, and they're copying a barrage from the social media aspects of people with fair trade and things like that. And I just thought that was a really interesting piece of information that is going to probably change the way that big business conducts itself over the next few years. So it's not advice particularly for this week, but I just thought that was something that really stood out as being potentially a very, very big move if the big traders start to cut out middlemen and control the supply chains themselves.
Matt Wilson, thank you for your information.
Thanks indeed, Caroline.
Sick of being the smartest person in the room? Tell your friends about the Talking Trading podcast. And let them come to the party too. TalkingTrading.com.au. Fixed interest is an enormous part of the market, and yet good information is really hard to come across. Today, our bonds and yields expert Matt Wilson introduces this sector to us and explains its benefits. Matt launched IG Markets, the very first CFD business in Australia. He has over 28 years' experience, and he's the publisher of The Yield Report, an online newsletter which gives up-to-the-moment information on interest rates. Hi, Matt.
Hi, Caroline. How are you doing?
So why have you launched a newsletter on fixed interest, theyieldreport.com.au?
Caroline, fixed interest is such a huge part of the investment market, and it's significantly bigger than the share markets, yet people know very little about it. Information is really hard to come by, unless you're in the professional market. And because trading happens away from a public exchange, the prices in fixed interest are really not readily available. So what we're seeing is banks and brokers making a whole pile of money because they've essentially got more information than the investors. So we believe that everyone should own fixed interest because it's got a great risk profile. And in particular, as people approach retirement age, we're finding that they want less share market risk and more certainty of return. The other thing we see a lot is that people are incredibly lazy with their money. It sits in bank accounts earning nothing. When they do invest it, it's usually just, say, with their own bank. They don't even bother to go and check rates with other banks. And, they're getting really, might get sort of 1.5% or something like that. So we're trying to make the process easier. And, our report has a whole table of comparisons for hundreds of different products, so you can see very easily what returns you can are available in the marketplace.
So let's start with brass tacks. What exactly is fixed interest?
Fixed interest. It's the term is fixed income or fixed interest, so they're sort of interchangeable. But essentially, it's an asset class, exactly like property is an asset class or shares are an asset class. Basically, it consists of debt or loans to governments or companies. So most listeners will be familiar with a term deposit where you, say, invest $100 for a fixed period, you receive regular interest, and at the end of that time period, you get your money back. So, in effect, you're lending money to the bank, and a bond works on exactly the same principle, and, mm-hmm. and that's fixed interest. When, of course, when you lend money to a government, say in a government bond, there, you know, there's a high likelihood you're going to get your money back, certainly higher than if you were to lend it to a local company or even a bank or something like that. So someone like the government pays you less interest because there's less risk. Think about it, something like BHP. So a BHP bond would pay you less interest than would a Qantas bond, because Qantas is a riskier proposition. So, and that's where the ratings agencies come into it. So they're used as a, ratings are used as a proxy for the different credit risks. And so a company with a triple B credit rating, for example, will pay you a higher interest than a company with a triple A rating. And that's essentially what fixed income is.
Matt, interest rates play a vital role in the economy, and there's been a massive focus on them in the past 12 months due to the US government's stimulus package, which drove yields down globally. For our listeners that are unfamiliar with these markets and how they're traded, could you explain some of the basics?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I guess the main exposure that most of us have to interest rates are things like mortgages and bank deposits. But fixed income is sort of much bigger than that. And I guess we've all heard about the expression risk and reward. And as an investor, clearly, you know, the greater the risk you take when you're investing, the greater the reward that you would expect to make. In fixed interest terms, that greater risk usually refers to the creditworthiness of the investment. So if, for example, you're investing in a government bond, as I mentioned earlier, a government bond is considered what they call a risk-free asset. So there's no risk attached to it because the government will always pay you back. Governments obviously can have the power to tax, and highly unlikely that an Australian government is going to default on a bond. So that's your sort of lowest form of risk, and therefore your lowest level of interest. And every other state or local government or company borrows at a rate above the equivalent government bond, and that's where you can generate higher returns for taking on more risk.
Okay, so why should people buy bonds or fixed interest?
Well, with shares, most people are familiar with shares, and with shares you only get paid a dividend, of course, if the company performs well. So, but just as equally, you can lose money if the company performs badly, and sometimes, you know, they even cut their dividends. So that's with bonds, what happens, of course, is you lend the company money, let's say call it $100, and at the maturity of that bond, you get your $100 back, and assuming the company, of course, doesn't go bankrupt in the meantime. But so, unlike shares, there's a certainty of the fact you're going to get your money back, and throughout the period where you've lent the money, you'll get a dividend or a coupon, as we call it, along the way. So, particularly for people who are in retirement and things like that, who want certainty of income, bonds should be the major component in your investment portfolio.
All right, I think you've partly answered my next question, but why are bonds less risky than shares?
Well, it's a bit of a technical answer, but, you know, in essence, companies have a capital structure and debt holders. And so you've got debt and equity holders of a company, and debt holders essentially have first priority over the company assets in the event that the company was to be wound up or go bankrupt. So shareholders will generally rank last. If there is a company wind-up, debt holders effectively get the first call on the company assets, and if there's anything left over, then shareholders get to split that between them. So that sort of answers the question.
Matt, just say I was sitting on a large bank share portfolio. Does that make me safe?
Well, a lot of people think that that's the case, and, you know, is CBA going to go bankrupt or ANZ? You know, it's highly unlikely, but the way I would put it is that in Australia we have a really strong shares culture. People really, you know, they understand shares. Dividend yields are quite high by global standards. You know, the problem, though, is that there's a lot of risks in the equity market, and they're quite high. And in bad times, share prices fall sharply, and dividends even get cut. Mm. So a lot of people think that bank shares are a defensive asset because they pay a high dividend. But I'll just take you back through to the GFC, and, you know, share prices in banks got absolutely smashed, and I think they were down around 60%, 64%, something like that on average. In addition, the dividends got cut as well to by around 34%. So anybody that was relying on bank shares to fund their retirement, let's say, or, you know, an income stream, they were in for, they got a rude shock through the GFC.
Okay, I might just jump to the next question because we're running out of time here a little bit. Sure. Is now a good time to be looking at fixed interest?
A common view would suggest that, you know, the US is withdrawing their monetary stimulus, interest rates should rise, and therefore that investors should avoid bonds. But even though that view on interest rates might be right, you know, we're heading, I don't think people should avoid bonds completely. In mm-hmm. fact, I'd say to them what they should do is not go into long-dated bonds, but stick with short-dated bonds. And there's a couple of reasons for that. The first one is that short-dated bonds actually are less sensitive to interest rate movements. So if rates are going up and down, it affects short-dated bonds less. But the other thing, of course, is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when you invest in a bond, you get your money back. So if you invest in a bond that's got a 1 year to maturity, then you know you'll get your money back in a year's time, and then you can reinvest it at those higher rates if rates happen to go up. So it's still a good time to invest in bonds to get that certainty of income.
Great. All right. And a terribly obvious question to end with. How do I buy and sell bonds?
It's a very good question because a lot of people ask me that same thing. And, you know, it's not as easy as buying shares necessarily. You can now trade government bonds on the ASX. That's been happening for about 9 months. And there are quite a lot of brokers around town, stockbrokers like Bell Potter and Ord Minnett and others, who buy and sell bonds, as well as a few small specialist fixed income dealers called, you know, people like FIG and Secure Investments. So you can actually buy bonds also through your local, through your bank, through their treasury operations. So, and of course, if it all seems to be too hard and you don't want to buy bonds directly, you can, of course, invest in a bond fund. And, you know, there's lots of people like BT and PIMCO and Russell Investments out there who have bond funds. So you can let the professionals manage the investments for you. And just the final thing is there's a thing called an ETF or an exchange traded fund. So that trades on the ASX, and you can buy a corporate bond fund or a government bond fund on the ASX via an exchange traded fund.
And the yield report keeps you up to date on yields and prices.
It certainly does. So, and we're happy to give your listeners a free trial, a 21-day free trial of Yield Report if they go to yieldreport.com.au.
Matt, thanks for your time.
That's a pleasure, Caroline. Nice to talk to you.
Matt's also a guest on Kevin Turner's podcast, realestatetalk.com.au. To hear the latest on the property markets, go to Real Estate Talk now and subscribe. And last week's trivia question was, what was the lipstick index? Well, Leonard Lauder, the chairman of the board of Estée Lauder, came up with the term, which reportedly showed that women like to spoil themselves during times of economic downturn with a bit of colour on their lips, as opposed to more expensive items of clothing. However, this index turned out to be totally false, as it was researched that it's in boom time that women like to smack some colour on their lips, and Mr. Lauder was simply talking his shares up. Next week's question is, what is the hemline index? Find out next time. At the Mentor Program's Midpoint Meeting, I caught up with our second student from the longitudinal study, Penelope Bellamy, and we found out how this inspiring woman is reclaiming her life. Talking to Penelope Bellamy, and your name is the hardest name to say, Penelope Bellamy. Yeah.
Penelope Bellamy.
Very hard. Penelope, the last 3 months of the Mentor Program, have you achieved all the goals and objectives you set out to achieve?
I'll be honest and say no. It's not been as easy as I initially thought, and life has got in the way and I've had some personal challenges. But the most important thing has been the support of my group, and Christine's been in that, and it's just been wonderful. Four wonderful women that just get together and they just support each other. But probably the ability to just get up and carry on has been very, very important, and to know that you can't miss out on this. Okay, you find yourself going backwards a bit, not achieving what you think you're going to achieve, but it's okay to just pick yourself up, do the summaries and get right back in there again and just keep going.
How's your trading knowledge?
It's grown enormously. Probably the confidence is the thing that's grown with me. It's been a bit scary sometimes on the forum hearing people just have this enormous knowledge and you just think you've got nothing, but then I just bring it back to you've got to keep it simple. Keeping it simple is what will keep me going, and I'll win by doing that.
Over the next 3 months, what are your goals and objectives?
Complete the course, complete every subject that's actually within that.
Even options?
Even options. I've done options before, lost money at options, and that's because I didn't stick to my rules. And so options don't really scare me. I think they're a very good tool to use. To be able to understand them all and then to be able to find the ones that really work for me.
Your big why for becoming a trader, your big aspirations for being here, is it bigger than ever?
Yeah, and probably more cemented, and it's long term, so it's not going to be a quick fix. It's something that I've aimed for. Buying a house is really important, and being able to pay that off, being able to establish my superannuation is really important, and being able to reward myself along the way, including my family, is really important too.
Because you've got quite a story. You lost everything, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Three houses we lost, and so renting right now. And probably one of the strongest things I've learned is in the trading plan, we have to establish what our risk percentage is. I've actually taken that and applied it to buying a house and gone, okay, well, I can apply this to every element of my financial life. And that's what I use now, is what percentage am I prepared to lose on this? I'm not prepared to lose much. So it's worth it.
Penelope, good to talk to you. That's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Matt Wilson and Penelope Bellamy. Stay tuned next week for business franchise expert Brian Keane on how to spring back from being smashed. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time. Happy trading for this week.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.